Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. This is Karen Miles, and I'm a little excited tonight because we're having a brand new show, brand new week, and we're getting ready to call Maria Rodman in to do the show with us. So I'm a little nervous, so, you know, sorry guys, but anyway. Let's get Maria on the phone and get this show on the road. One moment. Let's give her a call here. All right. Dialing a number. Because I did mess that up, so I apologize. Tonight, we will be talking about the new and upcoming things with the show and some things that are going on with Maria's end, too, as well. All right, here we go. All right, let's see if we can get her on here. She knows she's supposed to be on, but let's see. Okay, well, I know that she said that she was going to be home in about 10 minutes, so she'll be giving us a call back, hopefully, by then. But anyway, I guess we need to update everybody on some things that's happened since I've last been on and actually aired. 2 years ago was when I did my last show. I decided at that point afterwards I needed a much-needed break. Did not intend on taking as long as I did, but I got the break, and it was something that I needed, so now I'm ready to go back on air and actually do the shows again. But anyway, in the 2 years, I moved to Texas, got married not quite a year ago, so that's a new thing for me, and it's just been an exciting year for me. I mean, there's been a whole lot of stuff that's happened, kind of nice little ghost town this year that I enjoy going out to, very active, so that'll be something that we will talk about. But at this point, we need to get Maria online so we can get things going so everybody can enjoy what's going on. So let's try one more time and see if we can get her back in. And we'll see if we can get her on air. Sorry. I sent her a message and let her know that I was calling. So hopefully she'll pick up the phone. Maybe not. Okay. Let's see. Well, while we're waiting for her to call, would anybody like to call in and ask some questions, share with us what you're doing? Because I know I have some paranormal people up there that might have some new stuff going on. So if you want, just give me a call and we'll conventions, any new locations that you're interested in, or sharing. Okay. Sorry about the dead air there, guys. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been on air, so it's, you know, I'm a little nervous anyway. We're going to try Maria again, see if we can get her to answer the phone.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing pretty good. We're actually on air right now, so I had my little nervous switch, you know, the few minutes before I got you on. But it's been a while
sorry.
Since I've done one. But that is fine. Okay.
Let me just stick you on speaker real quick because I'm in my car still.
Okay.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you real well.
Okay.
So, I was telling everybody that you had some new stuff that was coming up, and it's big, exciting. So, you know, if you want, we can go ahead and start discussing it and get it out there.
Okay. Well, what I put together is a Paracon, and it's called Hudson Valley Paracon, and it's really the first big, huge event like this that's been done, I think, like around the tri-state area, and it's June 26th, 7th, and 8th in Poughkeepsie at the Mercury Grand Hotel and Conference Center. Friday night kicks off with a VIP party, and then Saturday and Sunday we have a full 8 hours of the talent tables and vendor booths and lectures and Chip Coffee's galleries on Saturday. And then Saturday night is also the VIP investigation, which for that tickets are extremely limited. But it's going to be a long, fun weekend and really looking forward to it. I mean, it was something huge that, you know, I was asked to put together, and you know, we're a little over 2 months away, and it's getting close, and things are really coming together and everything, so I'm excited, and you're going to be there as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been at least 2 years or more since I've been to New York, and the last time was when we were at the Shanley Inn, which was a really good, good investigation for everybody.
Yeah, that was a fun one. A lot of good evidence, and I don't even know what time of the year it was, but it'll be June, so it'll be warm. I know you're used to warm weather.
Yeah, a little much so. We're already like 90 degree weather in Texas already.
Oh, that must be nice. My car thermometer says 66 degrees, and it's cloudy and overcast.
Oh, gosh. Well, eventually you're going to have to come down here because I have a couple of different places that you really want to see.
Well, I'm definitely down for a road trip one of these days. Hopefully, I can make it.
I think you will, and I think you'll enjoy it. There's an old ghost town down here that I've told you about, I think, several times. And it is just off the charts. I mean, really off the charts with the activities.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping to travel more, like, you know, with the paranormal field this year. It's been a while since I've done a bunch of different locations outside of, like, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut. And, you know, there's still some places in Georgia that are on my list, too, that I didn't really get to do while I was down there and everything. So maybe we can have an afterlife meetup in Georgia.
That would be an idea. This time, you know, our terms and a chosen location would be an amazing afterlife meetup thing. It would be great, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. So, are you looking forward to coming to the convention this year?
I am very much so looking forward to the convention. The whole thing about it is it's going to be I think it's just going to be fantastic because I think I've chosen a topic that isn't really talked about. So we're going to see how that goes, and maybe that might be something that I'll kind of touch on later if I do other conventions after. But I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I just think that we're going to have a great time. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'm looking forward to seeing, oh my gosh, John Zaffis and Chip Coffee, you know, I mean, Brad Kling, all of them. It's just going to be an amazing weekend. You know, and usually for me, that many people, especially the fact that they're all big names in the paranormal field, we would need more than a weekend to just fit it all in, because I really want to spend time with each one and get to know them and investigate with them. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I mean, we have a lineup. I was looking at it the other day, and I'm going, holy cow, there is a lot of people coming. I mean, like you said, Chip and John and Brad Kling from Ghost Lab. We have Amy Bruni and Dustin Perry from Ghost Hunters. We have Gettysburg Ghost Gals, Chris Valisone from Tri-City Paranormal out of Virginia, Brian Cannell, Dave Schrader, John Brightman. I might be missing somebody, but I don't have the list in front of me right now. So if I miss and you're listening, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to.
I think it's a really good lineup. I really do. I think it's a good lineup. And I can't wait. I really cannot wait. It's going to be a fun weekend. And they're all so knowledgeable on everything that they know. They've been in it for a long time. And you and I have been doing this for a long time, too. So, you know. But I'm really looking forward to meeting them and listening to their ideas and their thoughts, you know, and how they handle their investigations when they do it. So, yeah, I'm going to be in each room listening to as many as I can before I go and do my own presentation as well.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited, you know, to meet everybody as well, because I haven't, you know, met anybody on the lineup yet except for you.
The first time we met was Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and that was a pretty good weekend. Well, we had a great weekend. The first time that we met was at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
No, it wasn't. We met at the Shanley first.
Was it the Shanley?
Yeah, because remember, that's where I met Billy, and Billy came with me at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
That's right. You're right. I'm a good one. That's right. Because after the fact, you came down. What was it? A month after I was up there, you came down to do Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Yeah, it was after like New York in the house.
Yeah. And that was real active now, too.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear what you said.
I said it was a real active night, too.
Oh, yeah.
With the spirit.
Yeah, that was a really good place. And I remember when, what's that? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Karen? Oh, okay. I remember when Billy and I first got there, we were waiting for you guys, and the team that had been there, I guess, like the prior night had just left. So they were like, yeah, come on in. So we were, you know, trolling around the place in the dark, and I had straight jackets on, you know. It was really fun. And there was this awesome picture that I got when Doug and Cindy were the caretakers there. I remember sending them the picture, and there's just like this black mass behind me. And it's just completely unexplainable because of the way the lighting was and the flash on the camera and, you know, where Billy was standing, there's no way it could have been anybody or anything. And Cindy had said to me, yeah, I get a lot of reports of, like, this black shadow thing. So that was a pretty good catch on film.
I know another one that we need to go to that you've not been to. It's old Jailhouse Inn or something like that. It was in Kentucky, and Billy the Kid hid out there when they were looking for him at one point. And our team went, and I literally stayed the night in a jail cell on two different occasions. But the first time we were up there, I called and I worked everything out and got the investigation for the team and everything. And we go and everybody else left after the investigation was over. And I decided to stay because I was going to have a 5-hour trip home, I think it was. It was a good little drive for me. So I stayed the night. And I was the only one in that building. There was nobody else there except for me. And the little white cat that lived, that would come in and out. It gets crazy because I finally went to sleep and something woke me up. The doorbell chimed in this building. So I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I have a key. So the caretaker must have a key also. And I laid in that bed. I didn't move. Something, you know, you get the gut feeling, it's like, don't move. Whatever you do, don't move. Just barely breathe, shallow breathe. You don't want them to hear you. So I laid there, and I could hear footsteps across the floor, and one of the doors opened up, and just right down the hall from where I was. I mean, it was just within feet, you know, just several feet of where I was at. And a few minutes later, I heard it come back through. Walked back across. I don't remember if the doorbell chimed the second time, but I know it did the first time. But I was under the assumption that it had went back outside. Whoever it was went back out the door. Well, the cat literally came in there and got in bed with me and did not move the rest of the night. He stayed right behind my back. That's where he stayed. I think it scared him too, but anyway, next morning I got up and I couldn't get out of there quick enough. And I called the caretaker and I told him, I said, put the key where you told me to and everything is locked up. I said, but did you come in about 5 o'clock this morning? 4 or 5 o'clock? And he says, no. He said, I wasn't there. Why? And I said, well, somebody was in the building because I heard the door chime. And he said, no, it didn't chime. He said, I would have heard it because it's connected to where his house, it was near there. Or next door to it. And he said, no. And I told him, I said, well, the doorbell chimed. I heard it. And then I heard footsteps. So he said that was a new one for them. They usually get all types of different types of stories, you know, or things that's happened in the night when people stay in that building. Mine was a little bit different because they didn't have the doorbell chime and it didn't sound like someone walking across the floor. I left. And finally, I guess about a year or two later, and this was after our group our founders decided that they were going to do something different instead of investigating and leaving you and I with the team. We went over there, me and another girl did that was a former member of the team, of our team. And we stayed the night up there then, but we didn't get anything like this. It was completely different, and I didn't stay in the downstairs in jail cell this time. But it was a cool thing to do, and there's a lot of activity there, and I think it would be something that you might want to do when you do come down, or we can meet up somewhere and go investigate. You would like it. Do an all-night investigation. There's a lot of activity in that building as well.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. That wouldn't be the first time I spent a night in a jail cell. I mean, like, paranormal-wise. Oh, Jesus. there was... an investigation that I had done, it was actually a Valentine's Day investigation. You know you're committed when, like, you actually spend Valentine's Day with your true love, and that's the paranormal world, at the old Herkimer County Jail. And that was a really fun active investigation. And the two big stories with that is... that's where Chester Gillette was housed before they sent him out. And he was the one that killed his girlfriend in up at Big Moose Lake after finding out, you know, she was pregnant and everything, and smashed her over the head with a tennis racket, and she fell into the lake and drowned, and they finally convicted him of that. And there's actually a book and a movie based off of that story, and I think the movie, if I remember correctly, is called A Place in the Sun with, I think, Elizabeth Taylor and Debbie Reynolds, or don't hold me to that, but I have to watch it. But it's, you know, pretty much loosely based off of that story, or well, that fact that happened. And then the other thing there was, that was where Roxolana Druce was hung outside the jail in the on the gallows outside there, and the where she was hung, like, the thing is still there today. At least as far as I know, it was when I did the investigation. But she was convicted of murdering her husband and chopping him up into many, many little bits. But her defense on that was she was protecting her children or her daughter, and they still convicted her and sentenced her to death. So that's the story behind Herkimer. But that was a really good place. I've really liked all the places that I investigate at.
Mm-hmm. And that's me. I've done so many, though, that I can't remember all of them. You know, 8 years of investigating, that's a long time to be doing it, and then turn around and you can't keep up with it all. But I've got thousands of pictures. I mean, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 or more pictures from where we've investigated. But the old South Pittsburgh Hospital one, when we did that, we were there one night. I think we went a total of 4 different times. And one of those investigations, we were setting up equipment. And myself and another female investigator were sitting on a tote. It had been emptied out and they were moving the stuff, but we were sitting on this tote. And I don't know what it was. I think it was like 8 or 9 people there, because we had some other people that had come join us. And for whatever reason, we all turned our heads to look. Something happened. I don't know if it was a sound or what it was. I just know we all looked. Well, it looked. The tripod. And kept on. And there was nobody near it. And I thought that was the coolest thing. I mean, we were all like, whoa, you know. And we weren't even investigating. We were just setting up. We were going to set up all the equipment. We'll still come somewhat early and go get something to eat and then come back and start the investigation. And, you know, sometimes stuff like that happens when you don't expect it. And they just say, hey, hello, look at me. You know, look what I can do. You know, and I'm so surprised everybody just to see that deer in the headlight look on your faces, because that's exactly what it got. But, you know, we've, oh, wow. You've been investigating how many years now?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You want me to do the math? Let's see. Well, I've been in the field, like, I started really, well, actively in the field since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, 13. Yeah,
wow.
I'm really, yeah, I started when I was, you know, 7 or 8. I'm only 21. No, I'm kidding.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, though. Which one, has there been any investigation that you've done that caused you to question whether you wanted to continue doing it or not?
Will you say that last part again? Any investigations what?
That made you question whether you wanted to continue investigating.
No. No. I mean,
no,
I've...
No bad investigation.
No. Well, I've... Well, let me put it this way. I've dealt with my negative cases. I've dealt with the bad cases. But unfortunately, they've never made me question anything, because that's really the reason well, one of the reasons why I do this is to help people and to help people get answers, you know, when they don't know what's going on. And, you know, trust me, I've gotten the phone calls and I've, you know, gone to the interviews with people who call and say, you know, they have this, that, the other thing going on. And I think in a way everybody legitimately thinks that there's probably some sort of paranormal activity going on, and they all think it's demonic. And, you know, there's a lot of times there's just simple explanations. But the fact that I make the effort and I go out and I go in person and talk to them and, you know, do my interview and find out what's going on, a lot of times it really puts them at ease. And, you know, that's how I always work. That's how I always do things. And I know, you know, everybody does things differently. Some people will just, you know, kind of go back and forth with email or telephone, and that's fine. I just, you know, I just go that extra step because that's just how I've always done it. And, you know, I don't plan on changing anything. But nothing has ever made me say, oh, my God, I have to get out of this field.
Now, I had one that was a questionable investment. It really, truly did scare me because it involved my daughter. And I've told you about this one. You've heard about this one more than once. But I had gone to Arizona and met up with a team out there, investigated with them. I was very upset with them because they were taking their three young kids out to investigate, and I didn't think it was right. But all the while, this person was telling me, you know, he was an ordained minister. It was okay. You know, no, you know, don't worry about it. I've got this. Well, he didn't have this because when it came down to it, I ended up spending 3 days doing a house cleansing. And I consulted and some people that you and I both know that, you know, they're very, very into the paranormal and they know their stuff. They've been out in it for a long time. But I had to consult them for help. But this thing, and I'm not going to call it a spirit. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. It was complicated. Come to find out that, you know, the people that I knew, the girl's husband had an exorcism performed on him. But he was going out and doing investigating. And that's a red flag for me. I don't think you should be going out and doing it if you had to have an exorcism performed on you, because therefore, you know, you're putting yourself back out there, and obviously you did something that caused a possession to begin with. And on their part, anyway, you would have to know more. For those listening, you would have to know more about the story and what happened in order. So don't take what I'm saying wrong, please. But anyway, the person that was the ordained minister, I did find out later he had three done on him. But the night in question, we went to an old cemetery, did the investigation, was no real issue there. The only issue I did have was the fact that his children were there. And I kind of got railroaded over, and my then 16-year-old daughter, or 15-year-old daughter, was there. But I told her, at this point, you stay with me, do what I say, and don't acknowledge anything. I will deal with it, because I was afraid for her already at that point. But it was an okay, the investigation went okay, no problem. Next day, at these other people's house, now, mind you, they probably had some things going on that I wasn't aware of in that house to begin with. And I heard a disembodied male voice said hello or hey or something. I don't quite remember exactly what he said, but he said something. And about an hour or so later, the man that was the ordained minister calls me and says he's going to do a house cleansing. And he asked me, he said, do you want to go? And I said, sure, I've not seen one. I'd like to be present to witness, you know, to see what happens with a house cleansing, because our team founders, you know, would not let us do that, but they had reasons for it, and I understand their reasons for not allowing us to go. You know, the guys would go do it and the women stayed home, but you know, there was a reason for that. So anyway, we go to this investigation, they do the house cleansing, and I start noticing things that's not right. He's starting to sweat profusely, and he cannot keep up with what he's trying to say and what he's trying to recite from the Bible. He's getting mixed up. He can't get it out. You know, he's not acting quite so right while he's doing this. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, am I the only one paying attention to this? Because he should be able to go through this, strongly go through this, and not have an issue with it. No one apparently noticed it. And one of the people that was in the house, that lived in the house, got very upset and agitated and walked out. So during all this time,
No, wow. I mean, amazing stories in this field.
Yeah, we ended up with doing a three-day cleansing because of all this. I mean, this thing, my daughter went twice. She's not been back. She's not going back. Refuses, and I don't blame her. But I made it a point to tell her, you know, once you go out and you do this, they know you. They will search you out because they know you. You have been there. You looked for them. They know you looked for them. You know, you have to be very careful what you do. This house in particular, it had some bad stuff that was going with it. This spirit was cussing at my... I told her she had actually picked up one of the little... it was not the obelisk and was holding it. And I told her, go put it back. She started to go. They called her a name and said, no. And again, it said no. Called her a name again. I took it from her. Because she's scared at this point. I mean, she doesn't know what to do. And she said, but Mom, it told me no. And I said, I don't care whether it told you no. You know, it's going to put it back in there. I will do it. I took it. And it called me a name. But all the while, I'm like, you know, you can't do this. This is not right. You know, why are you even talking to her like that? You know, this is a child. She's a 15-year-old child. You can't do this. Well, they did the house cleansing, and they were all happy about it. They thought they'd done a good thing, but yet they still had their three small kids there, which they should not have been there. I don't condone that. And I don't have a problem with someone that wants to teach their child about it, but just don't. I don't see putting them in positions that's going to be a problem for them. Because one of these kids was literally throwing up, and this was after the cemetery investigation. And you got to be very careful what you do, because you take these kids, and they're young, they're innocent, they don't really know better about it. You know, I got told that their kids knew more about the paranormal than I did. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. They're small. Your youngest child is 5 years old. How does this 5-year old know this is a game to them? But nonetheless, with all I'm not Catholic, but I know where to go. I know who's good at handling those type of situations. So I took her and had it done. And we didn't have a choice. So, you know, before you go out there and do this, you need to think about it before you do it, because you can put yourself in danger. You can put your whole entire family in danger, you know, because these things are not something to play with at all. And yeah, there's worse than that out there, I'm sure. Actually, I know there is, but you know, we were just lucky we were able to get rid of what we were dealing with at the time. And that did make me question whether I wanted to continue doing it or not. Because it put my daughter in danger.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, there's definitely bad and negative stuff out there. Like I said, I've had my share of dealing with it. And, you know, I teach workshops around the area and everything, and it's one of those where I go into the workshop and I tell these people, look, you're not going to get a certificate at the end. You're not going to be a certified, here's your stamp, ghost hunter. Is that these are just learning tools from somebody that's been in the field for a really long time. And, you know, there's certain things that I stress several times throughout the investigation or the workshop about investigations. And one of them, my big one, is no trespassing. And, you know, there's a couple different reasons for it. A, it can be dangerous. B, it's illegal. C, you want to make sure that, you know, if you want to be taken seriously in the field, obviously you need to keep your reputation stellar. You know, nobody wants to see the article that Rhea from Afterlife was arrested because she was, you know, trolling through Bennett College. That would be embarrassing, and my credibility would be shot.
Exactly.
Like, no one would take me seriously again.
Right. In all reality, Afterlife Investigations has a really good track record. You know, we've always asked for permission to be at a location. You know, we've gone through literally talk to the client, do the initial meet with them, find out what's going on with them. We do the research on their property and location. We find out, you know, what was there prior to their home or whatever. But, you know, that's the right way of doing investigations. I mean, you want to be able to present that client with information. You know, they may be something historical that happened on their land that they don't know about, you know, and there's nothing more, you know, you tell them, hey, well, this is what happened, you know, and this is what I found, and to see some of the reactions sometimes, it makes you smile because, like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I found this, and now they're learning this for the first time. But then at the same time, we go in, okay, we know this is what this is that's causing problems in your home, and this is how we're going to handle it. And Afterlife Investigations always, you know, we're there till the very end. I mean, we stay right with it. We don't do one investigation and walk away. That's not how we work. We never have worked that way.
So, exactly. It's like you said, stay until the very end. I mean, you know, I've investigated a place two or three times to get my answers that I needed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, and I understand that with obviously all the TV shows that have come out lately, and Coffey and John Zaffis and Brian Cano are going to be here, and these people are all, and, you know, Brad and Dustin and Amy and all the ones that are on shows, and actually, you know, Dustin is still continuing to film new episodes of Ghost Hunter, so that's exciting. But,
yeah.
You know, they obviously, all their production teams and everything like that, get them into these places. So we all know that that's legit. And, I mean, like, you know, the locations and stuff. But, you know, with everything that's coming out and more and everything, and, you know, everybody, you know, there's nothing wrong with obviously getting yourself started in the field, but there's ways to do it, and that's another thing that I teach in my workshops. The best way to go about doing it legitimately and getting the permission and everything like that, I mean, an open door does not permission make. So just because you're on the property and the door is wide open, please do not go in. I mean, you don't know what you're walking into. You could fall right down into a hole. Who's going to find you? I don't know. And it just makes it dangerous for first responders that have to come and get you out of there. I mean, I live literally within walking distance of the Hudson Valley Psychiatric Center. Now that everybody is listening and, you know, if they Google that, they know I'm in walking distance. So I'm not that hard to find. But, you know, I literally could just walk in to that property and have myself field day. But I don't. And trust me, being so close to it, that temptation is just always there. I pass it every day. When I go to the gym, you know, it's there, and it taunts me all the time. But I won't do it. I can't. I can't break my own rules because then I'll look like a schmuck if I get caught.
Right. Right. And then no one's going to take you seriously. You know, that's what it comes down to. If you go and you break the rules and say, oh, well, you know, that house is empty. I wonder if there's anything in there. Let's go check it out. You know, you go onto someone's property, you're on their property. And in some places, you know, it's illegal to get shot if you're on their property, you know, for trespassing or whatever. But,
I mean, I'm not too familiar with New York, but I don't know if that actually applies here. I don't know.
Probably not there. I think Texas, it does. Yeah, there's roles down here that would just absolutely blow your mind that are like way back. You know, they can still, if someone gets caught stealing a horse or a cow, they can still hang you for it. I mean, it's just that plain and simple. It's there. That rancher or farmer has the right to string you up and hang you until you are dead. But, you know, they don't do it. They don't do it, though. But, you know, it's still in the law book. But
yeah, definitely not paranormal related, but when I think of, when I put you and horse in the same sentence, I only have one image that comes to my mind, and that was that day I was completely shocked by that. like, oh, what's that?
That was so funny, but if it, you know.
I'll never forget that, ever. Just,
you know, I won't either, but, you know, that was such a fun day. We had an absolute fun day that day. You know, for me, it was a shock because I thought everybody knew about horses because if I knew about them, everybody else was supposed to. But it was funny, and, you know, and that's just, you know, now it's a joke between me and you, you know, that we know about, and I don't particularly think we would want to share it totally on air, but maybe one day we will. But it was hilarious. It really was.
Yeah, that was... Oh, good Lord. Definitely an interesting morning, that's for sure. It was morning, right? Because it was like at the end of the walk. After. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it was at the end of the walk. We had walked out. That was almost the beginning because we walked all the way around, remember? That was part of it. It was about midway, and we stopped. So I wanted to stop and show you the horses. So... It was fun. Well, you remember while we were there about that shadow thing that was on the road? You remember that?
Yeah.
Where we walked so far out. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there was, you know, just to kind of, touch on that story. That's actually a paranormal story, and this is when Karen and I were in Georgia, and the road of where a friend of ours had lived, we were down there, and apparently there was, and it wasn't just them that knew, it was almost like the whole area knew that there was a portion of that road where, like, this shadow thing comes out at night, and, like, literally nobody wants to even go past a certain point on that road if they do not have to. Like, they will go around the long way to avoid that section of road. And, of course, I stand there, and everybody's like, don't do it. And, you know, I'm just, I don't know. I don't see anything. So I'm just walking in there, and all of a sudden, Karen's like, Maria, I think it's coming. I'm like, oh, oops. I don't know. If it's there, then it's there. My eyes don't adjust to the dark. It takes a while for my eyes to adjust to the dark sometimes because I don't know why. Like, I don't know.
Well, if you remember when I turned around.
I think we lost you.
There.
Now I'm here. Yeah, you went bye-bye.
For a minute. Sorry about that. But what I was saying was, you remember, I turned around because I could see it. She couldn't see it, but I saw it. And I'm turning, and at the same time, I've got my camera up in the air, and I'm flashing pictures, and I'm yelling, run.
That's all you can hear. Maria, there it is. Run.
Yeah.
I just stood there because my first thought was, okay, well, which direction am I supposed to be running in? Like, subconsciously I knew, but, you know, one of those moments where I just totally lost my brain.
Well, it only come so far down, and I knew we were over where it didn't go past. And I think I was pushing. I don't know if I was pushing you or what. I just know that I turned and I yelled, run.
Yeah, and you're just like,
see, I don't,
Yeah, you're pushing past me. I don't know what is going on. I'm just like, oh, okay. And then the best part, do you remember the investigation in the apartment I lived in? Because, like, all that voodoo crap I found in the attic.
And that was the one that found the apartment.
Yeah, thanks for that, by the way. You found the apartment in, like, the ghettoest part of Georgia, I'm sure, where there's a big sign on the road that says, Quiet Sickness. So, long story short, like, I move into this apartment, and it's actually really nice. And, you know, when you go from New York to Georgia, and you find, like, this really nice apartment, and it's really inexpensive, you're like, holy cow. I mean, in New York, it would have been, like, $1,000. So, I'm, you know, getting moved. I'm all moved in, basically, and I decided there was an attic hatch or whatever you call it to get you, because they said you could put storage up there. Well, the landlord didn't tell me that the other people that were in there, like, before me at some point were really, really into, I don't know, voodoo, black magic, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but when I walk up into this attic and I see, like, voodoo dolls with signs and like body parts labeled of this, that, and person, I'm like, this isn't right. Like, what happened to these people, and why did they move out so fast, and why are all their voodoo things still up here? So, the one doll that was kind of like the whole thing that sparked the whole thing, I got it out of the house, I put it down, like, underneath the house in a basement area and closed the basement thing and forgot about it. And when these people came back for the investigation, it was moved. And there's no possible way that it could have been moved. Like, not even in any way, shape, or form. And not just, like, oh, it might have tipped a little tiny bit. Like, the thing was moved. So, I was like, oh, okay. This is great. So it's like I would hear footsteps on the porch at night. Nobody was there. It was definitely a crazy apartment to live in. And of course, I'm all like, yes. And at the same time, you know, that's always what I want to do is, you know, live in a haunted house. I like living in a haunted house, so. Didn't really bother me. It was like just kind of like the voodoo stuff was a little tiny weird for me. I've never really put myself into that realm of supernatural, if you will. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't
well,
really know
what
it was about.
Well, the team that was there, we won't even go into that with them, but they were supposed to destroy the doll. And it didn't happen. I was with them when they left. And they stopped at a gas station and said, oh, well, here, let's throw it in the garbage. That's where the doll went. It went in the garbage. I mean, her partner literally just tossed it. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this thing doesn't need to be do that. It needs, you know, all this other stuff done before you do away with it. But they went ahead and did away with it. So it was a mess.
Yeah. You know, and this is another reason why I kind of look at this, you know, you have to be, when you're in this field, you have to have the passion for it. I mean, it's not going to be every investigation you go on. Like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens tonight. Because trust me, you could sit there for 8 hours with all your recorders and all your cameras and all your thermal imaging and all this and get absolutely nothing until you review the evidence, which is, you know, depending on how many cameras and recorders you have set up, 8 hours is a lot of evidence to review.
Yes,
but sometimes it's worth you know, getting what you do get. But, you know, it's like if you just kind of go into the field thinking you're going to get all this great ghostly stuff on camera or on recorder or audio, you're really setting yourself up for some disappointment because, A, you could catch absolutely nothing even after reviewing the evidence. B, you could sit there for an 8-hour investigation, but still get some really good evidence. And C, you could have a completely active night. But it's, yeah, like the drive and the passion has to be there for the right reasons. And like I said, I've been doing this a really long time and helping people and getting the answers. That's why I'm here, and that's why I'm still here. Because there's still so much to learn, and there's still so much to find out, and there's still so many answers to get, and there's still people out there who need help. So when I get calls and when I get emails, that makes me feel good because I know that my reputation is solid. You know, people might not, here's the thing, sometimes people might not like what I have to say. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, like I said earlier, they do things their own way. So, yeah, and it's not a proven science, this field. There's no right and there's no wrong. You know, nobody's going to come along with a stick and beat you over the head with it if you do something differently than they would do. But, you know, you can't be in it just to say, oh, let me grab a recorder and go trespass somewhere and see what I can come up with. That's not the right reasons, and you're never going to have a credible reputation if that's how you portray yourself.
Exactly. And they don't understand. You can go out there and trip over, you know, say trip over a rock and fall and get hurt, and it's nobody's responsibility. It's your responsibility, period.
Oh, God, that's, I mean, I'm the biggest klutz in the world. Trust me, I know. But I don't, you know, I don't go into something, like, I don't trespass into a place and, you know, fall and break a leg and then expect it to be somebody else's responsibility. I could be walking in daylight, I'll see a rock, and I'll still trip over it. That's just how I don't know, like, I don't, like, my eyes see it, but my legs don't lift up high enough.
Yeah. I feel you on that because I'm the same way, and it's messed up because, you know, I'm the worst for tripping and falling on stuff. We were at the one location I was telling you about in Kentucky about where, oh, shoot. I think I said Billy the Kid, but it wasn't Billy the Kid. It was Jesse James. Anyway, where he would stay at, there's a basement, and they literally would put their, when they're solitary confinement, was in the basement. But the thing of it was only a little 2-foot-high room. And they would put them inside there, and they would have to crawl around in there to move around. Well, we were down there, and they had, it still has iron, those iron doors that close in together. There's two of them together. And we were coming out of there one night, and I stepped up, and I come my ace and knocking myself out because I hit the door. I walked right straight into it. Wasn't paying attention. I had a big old goose egg on my head for like a week.
I could be paying attention. I could be paying attention and I'll still trip and fall.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm the one that can trip over thin air, going upstairs, and that would be me. But I'm used to it. Like, I'm used to, I don't know. Like, it's not even that I don't even want to say that I'm not coordinated, because I am. It's just kind of those moments where, I don't know, my body is like, nah, you need a big old purple bruise this week. Let's see what we can do for you. Like, I walked into the corner of my desk today at work. I purposely try to go around it, and I still walked into it. Don't ask me how it happened. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
You're just the half that those corners say, here we are. Yeah, I see your hip. It's time to go smack. Me, I can walk around at night. Now, this is what happens to me here at home at night. I'll get up to go out, go check make sure the door is locked. My husband does it, but I still go check it sometimes. Last night I got up to go do that for some reason. I just felt that I needed to go check. Got up to go check, went through the living room and the kitchen fine. Came back through and ran straight into the side of the sofa. So I was watching on the last.
Well, here's the weird thing. I'm actually pretty good. Like I said, it takes a while for my eyes to adjust to the dark, but I can actually walk around the house. I know where everything is. This is like one of those things where, you know, when it's set up a certain way for so long, you could literally, I could walk from my bedroom out to the kitchen, not a problem. I know where the coffee table is. I know where the couch is. You know, I know where the cabinet in the kitchen is right there. The only thing that'll throw me off and send me flying is if my dog has left one of her toys in the middle of the living room floor and I don't realize it's there. And I swear, it's always the place that I do step in bare feet right on a chewed up bone.
Oh, that hurt.
But,
that really hurt.
Yeah, just a little bit. Now, I don't have a little tiny doggy with little tiny bones. I have a 100-pound black lab, so her bones are big. And her teeth marks make them really, really sharp.
So. Well, hey, Miss Maria, we are getting down to the last just few minutes of the show. So if there's anything that you want to give out, say, where they can buy their tickets for the convention, or, well, the Paracon, if they want to go buy the tickets for that, where they can find you online, and go ahead and do that.
The whole Paracon itself is actually being presented by a group of people who run a Facebook page called Haunts of the Hudson Valley. And they're the ones that contacted me. You know, I've worked with them on a couple other projects before. So, you know, I was more than happy to help put this together for them. And they actually, the people that run that page kind of stay in the background. So if you ever want to check them out, the page itself, for them is really awesome because what they do is they find all the different locations around the Hudson Valley that have the haunted history, and they post those on their page. But the Paracon page itself or on Facebook, if you just search Hudson Valley Paracon, you'll find it. And again, that is this coming June 26th, 7th, and 8th at the Mercury Grand Hotel and Conference Center in Poughkeepsie. The investigation location at this point has not been disclosed yet for privacy purposes. If you want to purchase tickets or if you're interested in being a vendor or a sponsor, you can visit the website, which is HudsonValleyParacon.com. And all the guest lineups and their bios are on there. The entire weekend schedule is on there. We're purchasing tickets is on there. We're actually doing an update on the ticket purchases tonight, getting all the PayPal buttons updated, and it should be done by the end of the week. A lot more specific options. You're going to be able to purchase multiple tickets under one thing. So that's all there. You can send them emails. You can message them on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. There's always somebody on hand who can answer you, usually Jan, Cindy, or Aaron. Those are the three that will usually answer emails and stuff. So definitely any questions or concerns, or if you want to, you know, participate in any way, we're going to be looking for volunteers soon. I can tell you that to help out with different aspects of the event. We're hoping to get our volunteer request out by the end of the month. So it should definitely be an exciting time and, you know, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and that's what I say, everybody come on out and join us. I mean, it's going to be plenty of fun weekend. Of course, Maria's going to be there. I'm going to be there. And a huge group of people.
Now, I'll be the one running around looking like a chicken with my head cut off. So if you're not really quite sure who I might be, look for that person. That's me.
Exactly, and you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a little bit different to a degree, but not totally, but it's going to be fun. There'll be everybody's going to be giving a presentation so you can see all of us, and just come out and join us. There's also going to be a meet and greet also, and a investigation after the fact as well. So
yeah,
anyway,
the VIP party. Yeah, the VIP party on Friday night. That's awesome. I mean, the tickets for that are only $30. And the reason why I say only $30 is because it's not just coming in and hanging out with the celebrities. We have a DJ who not only is going to be playing all the latest music, he's also going to do some karaoke, so it's time to, you know, test your vocals. And it's catered. So dinner is included. There's going to be, you know, dinner and some soda and water is all included. We will have wine and beer for those over 21, but that's separate. That's not included. That'll all be, you know, a cash bar. But dinner is included, so the catering is all part of it. It's nothing extra. We've had some inquiries on, you know, the whole dinner thing, but, no, that's included in the ticket, so. And it's catered by Modern Slice out of Westchester, so it's to die for.
To die for.
But not only that, I also want to let everybody know before we end tonight, Friday evening at 5 p.m., David Ullman, he is a producer. He has the Ullman House, which is quite interesting. He has a lot to do with Sharon Tate. He'll be coming on Friday to talk about that. So y'all definitely want to tune in for that one. I will be scheduling on out after that. So if anybody wants to come on, you know, paranormal or, you know, mainly paranormal, if you want to come on, just contact me on Facebook and I'll set you up with a date. But anyway, Maria, I want to thank you for coming on. It has been great. I've had a really good time, and you kind of saved me because when I get on here by myself, I just kind of mumble, kind of ramble on, you know, because I don't know what to say. So that's what happened to me in the first, I don't know, 5 minutes or so. But,
well, I
anyway,
feel bad
for coming on.
Driving home from work. I'll be home in 10 minutes. And then I look down at my phone, like 5 minutes calls. I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on? So, yeah, that introduction was, I don't even know what the introduction was. All the, like, I'm just like, hello? Oh, hey, yeah, let me put you on speaker.
Well, it's been the first show in 2 years, so there's been bound to have a little bit of things happen that, you know, just kind of didn't start out right to a degree, but then it got better throughout the show. But, you know, it happened. And on Friday, I guarantee I will have some music. I didn't even have startup music today. I've got to find my music again. But
I just cheated now.
I'm sorry. I gotta find my CD so I can start downloading because my laptop is a brand new laptop, so I don't even have everything set up totally with it yet. But we gotta do this again.
Yeah, I mean, if you definitely want to have me on closer to the event, you know, I'm game, so.
And maybe I can run the show from there, so we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be
awesome.
Everybody kind of just interview here and there, you know. But, yeah. But anyway, thank you, and I guess we better go ahead and call it a night, and I'll catch up with you on online here in a few minutes.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. It's always fun having you on. We have a blast. But I want to thank everybody that tuned in to listen tonight. Thank you for bearing with me for the first few minutes. Again, like I said, it's been 2 years since I did a show, so I was nervous. But I'm good now. I think I've got this again. Enjoy it. Enjoy talking and enjoy spending time on air with you guys. But anyway, we will see you Friday at 5 p.m. And definitely tune in. And Maria will definitely be back on. We will probably do two or three more shows between now and then, and I'll air a show from the Paracon as it's happening. So anyway, you guys have a good night, and we will see you on Friday.
Good night.
Good night.